What is your legacy? Accusations fly in the all around this passage, and it raises some troubling questions. The idea of God accusing future generations for the sin of a present generation seems to perplex us. Also, in God's Word from the book of Jeremiah, we have that water metaphor that we see here. What cisterns are we digging to replace God as the fountain of living water? What are we holding on to? What are we filling up our pools with? What is our living water? You see, this powerful passage today from Jeremiah points to a greater truth in life. When we ignore God, we tend to seek a substitute to fill the void that exists within our soul. We try to find things to put in that place because we're truly not fulfilled. People fill that void with many, many things in this world that we live in. They fill it with alcohol, drugs, sex, relationships, gambling, money, success, power. And all of these may have their allure. Oh, yes, they do. And they may, in fact, become a mistress that seduces us away from faithfulness. But guess what? Still, you and I are the ones who make that choice. We are the ones who choose. And we can choose to fight the seductive nature of the things that lead us astray and away from God and those for whom we care. We can fight it. We can struggle with it. We can figure out what it is we can do. But when we consider what we are doing by our actions, it is well that we consider what legacy we leave to the future. What's going to be left behind? What will future generations be like if they follow our example? Will our children have faith? And will future generations come to know the holiness of God and the strength that comes from wrestling with the biblical text? Will our children have faith? And will future generations come to know the holiness of God? You see, the people of Israel were led to a land of abundance. In our scripture today, it says, I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruit and its good things. He said, I didn't bring you into a wasteland. I brought you into a good place, a plentiful land. Soon the people forgot to worship the worship of the Lord their God. They forgot to worship. They forgot who brought them to that place. Can you imagine what it would be like to forget to worship? Have you ever forgot to worship? Have you ever forgotten to be thankful? Have you ever eaten a meal and didn't bow your head and thank God for it beforehand? I don't care where you're at. I don't care who's in your company. Or do you say, well, you know, they might not understand. They might think I'm a little too churchy. They might think I'm a little too godly. They might think I'm trying to be something that I'm not. So think about where we're at. Have you ever not done something because of where you were at? Have you forgot to worship? You see, even those who are charged with leading the people in worship, the priest of God did not say in verse 8a, where is the Lord? Through Jeremiah, God pleads to the obvious question in verse 11:8, has a nation changed its gods, even though there are no gods? Have you changed your God? Who are you worshiping today? Who are you following? Have you changed your God? This leads us to another vital question. If we fail to model faithfulness to God, how can we expect our children to have faith? You see, this much is clear. God is not cursing our children's children. We are. God is not cursing our children's children, but we are, by what we're leaving behind. For the community of faith to live out our calling, we must remember our heritage. We must learn from our history. Look back at the history of the church of generations, from the beginning of time and the mistakes that the church made. Look at the things around us and live in loving fidelity to God each day. Our birthright as baptized Christians is not an end in itself, but an opportunity. It is an opportunity to live out our lives in faithful relationship with God and God's creation. So many times people say, well, I'm saved, I've been baptized, I got my name on the book, I'm safe. It's the end. I'm safe. You know, people, it's just a beginning. It's just the very beginning. It's just starting. That's the part of it. We're living our life. We're showing others. We're being an example. We're there. People are watching. People are paying attention. You see, we're learning. It's an opportunity. Our birthright as baptized Christians is not an end. Oh no. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to live out our lives in faithful relationship with God and God's creation. Our baptism is just the very beginning, the tip of the iceberg. What do we do today is so important. What we leave behind is all we have and all that we are. For we cannot take with us from this planet anything we have built, created, or accomplished. We can't take that with us. What we take with us is what we came into the world with, our very being. We were born into the world, and we go out that way. Dr. Gaston Foote was a great preacher, a great author, and a pastor at First United Methodist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He officiated at a funeral of a wealthy woman who possessed a considerable estate. Now, after the service was over and Dr. Foote was speaking to those departing the church that day, a man known for sticking his nose into affairs where he should not have of others, he approached Dr. Foote and he said, "Oh, you can tell me, Dr. Foote, how much did she really leave behind?" And without hesitation, the wise pastor replied, "Why, my dear sir, she left it all. She left it all. She didn't take a thing with her." In other words, and I'm not telling you what she left the church, if she left the church a dollar, that's up to her. What I'm telling you is she left it all behind because we don't take it with us. You and I are the same way. You see, we don't take it with us. What are we leaving behind? What's our legacy? What is left here for others to understand? What is left here? The philosopher and author William James says, "The greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it." Spend it for something that will outlast it. What will be your legacy? Will a faith that endures be a witness and example for your children and for generations to come? Think about it. What will be your legacy? What will you leave behind? How will people know that you lived? Will they say, "Wow, what a fine man he was. What a wonderful woman she was. What a godly person they were." Do you remember what they did? I can remember the stories they told. I can remember the example of their faith, how they lived their life. Is that's what you want people to remember? You know, we all have examples, and we've had some mighty examples in this church in these few years that I've been here that have gone on to glory. And in the past few years, we've had two of the greatest examples that I know of, and that was Miss Iris Cotton and Mr. Bobby Hamilton. What a way to live your life so that others will remember, so that something will be carried on, so that people will say, "Wow." And they didn't do it by running around hollering and screaming at folks. They did it in the way they lived their life each and every day. The example of who they were the same on Sunday as they were on Monday. Their job might have been a little differently, but the way they lived their life, the way they witnessed to others was the same. Yes, I'm sure they had bad days, and I'm sure that they might not have always been pleasant to people every moment of every day. But you know what? In the end, the goodness of who they were, the faith that shone through, that's what they leave behind. They are gone. They've paid for their dues, and they're living in glory. But my question to you this day is, what will be your legacy? Will a faith that endures be a witness and an example for your children and for generations to come? Let us pray.